I want to start in St. Matthew 16, 13, and 18. I have been studying about the history of the church, and I have a really inspiration this morning. Pray the Lord will bless me and help me with it. I love the church of God, and we love the church of God. And a little testimony is when we were young, I was about probably 12 years old, 13, the Lord began to deal with my heart and in Michigan. And we begin to pray that the Lord would lead us to the right church.
Praise the Lord.
And at that time, I had no idea about Faith and Victory or Church of God, Evening Light Saints, nothing. But I begin to pray. I just felt I had tried to go to some other services, different services with different friends of mine that were in different sects, the different divisions of the church that's not, Babylon, what we call it. And I wasn't getting what I needed. I just wasn't finding God. I wanted to get saved. And I was getting so frustrated. And I remember I was walking through the living room one day, and the devil said, "You are going to go to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it." And I just begged God, "Please lead me to the true church. Please. God, there must be a church out there somewhere that lives free from sin." Why I believed that we live free from sin, I don't know. The Lord just talked to my heart that way. You must get delivered. You must live free from sin. And the Lord would talk to my heart that way. And in fact, God just really talked to me in many ways as a child about God. And we always had a very tender heart. We heard about the hard heart the other day, but it seemed like the Lord, I'm so thankful that he did give me a tender heart to the Lord. And we always wanted to serve the Lord, but we want to read the scripture in St. Matthew 16 and 13. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" Now, he didn't build the church on Peter, he built it on Jesus Christ. But he said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You know, dear ones, as saints of God, we have keys. And we have teachings. And we have different things that we teach. And you know, there's power in that. And there's power to draw closer to God as we yield to the light of God. You know, we must yield to God's light. We must walk in the light. When we were first saved, there was many things I had to be taught. But as I yielded to God's light, and as we as saints yield to God's light, he gives us more light, more understanding, and we yield to that, and we go forward with God. And when we back up on light, that's where the danger is. And we want to inspire us this morning to, we know we're established in these doctrines, but just pray that God will even give you more inspiration this morning, how dear the church is. The little sister saying the other day, beautiful, beautiful. It is a beautiful thing. The church of God is beautiful. And what makes it beautiful? It's the saints that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm glad that we can go to service with people that are really born again. And we wouldn't want to be attending service somewhere where maybe 50 or 75%. I'm not saying there's some that are saved. God said, other sheep I have of different folds, but I must bring them. But when we have the understanding that this is the true church and this is the fold that God wants you in, for us to go back on light and go somewhere else because it's easier over there. You know, why can't I'm saved. I could keep saved. Why can't I just go to join another congregation or another church and back up on light? And it'd be easier for me. I wouldn't have to do certain things. I wouldn't have to dress a certain way. And I could still get to heaven. That's not what we're supposed to do. If we do that, we could lose our soul. We feel it so strong in my heart that if I was to do something like that and never have been tempted to do that, that I would lose my soul. And that's why I want to encourage us this morning that division is wrong.
Yes.
And these different, you know, I've kind of had an illustration like this, but, you know, if you have a, best way I could, like a circle, like a pie, but kind of like a pie, but it's divided. And all these different denominations, they're all divided. And so therefore it hinders the working of God, like God wants to work. We could have a more powerful church, more powerful in the world today, if we all had one, there was one body. Just think how good we could work with that. But thank God for what we do have. And thank God that it says one can chase 1,000, what? 2,000. So, you know, we still have great power, whether we're just a few or we're many. But it says straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And you know why few find it? Because they're not willing to walk in God's light. They're not willing to yield to God's Holy Spirit. But when we're willing to do that, power comes. And we've had some good messages in this meeting, and I expect more. But you know, the Lord is working with his people, and he's showing the power of the blood. We heard about the power of the blood that Brother Michael had. There is great power in the blood, and there's power in God's church. And don't think just because we're few in number that we're not great in the world, because we are. The saints are holding up prayer, and I believe the Lord he's listened to us, and he's blessing us as much as possible in the last days. I get some amusement sometimes when I see that sign, the Latter-day Saints. Well, that's a false doctrine, the church Latter-day Saints. But we are the true Latter-day Saints. We're in the last days, and we're the Latter-day Saints, and we're going to be faithful to our convictions to the very end by God's grace. We're going to stay with it and stay for what we believe and hold up the banner of the true Church of God. Oh, we love the Church of God. We love the Bible doctrines that are true. It's not that we make them up, but they have a foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church, and everything we teach has a biblical scripture for it, and it's not something made up by man. And I think about, as I was studying and reading this, the millennial, that word millennial is not even in the Bible. I remember when I was young, I worked at a nursing home, and there was a lady there. She was a head cook, and she was going to church, I knew, and all that. And I've been taught that they were going to disappear, and I couldn't find her one day. I was probably about 17, and I thought, where is Elsie? I can't find her. And I got really upset about it. I thought, maybe she's disappeared. You know, and I went and looked, and well, she was in the freezer getting something. But, you know, but what I want to bring out like this is what foolish doctrines that is. That people are going to be driving in a car, and they're going to just disappear. And, well, you know, if you're in that car and they're the driver, you're going to be in big trouble, right? But, you know, this is so foolish. And then we heard in this meeting, someone was preaching about, it was Brother Ed. He said, you know, how can angels fall away in heaven when there is no sin there? There's no way that they can be tempted. There's no way that they can be tempted. When you're in heaven, all things will be pure. There will be no sin there. There's no undefiled gets to heaven. There's just no way that an angel could be tempted in heaven. And these false doctrines that people believe in just amazes me. How come, you know, it seemed like common sense would teach us better than that. So what is it? It's a spirit. And remember that every false church has a spirit. It has a spirit. And it can get on us if we yield to that. I remember one time I was heard about a couple of the good saint brethren. I heard this. I'm not sure their names, but you might have heard it. But they were going along, and they saw a tent meeting on the side of the road. And they thought, well, let's just go see what's going on over there. Well, I'm not saying the Lord would never send you to preach the gospel to them, but God's not going to send you there to listen to them. You know, God may send the saints, and that's all right. If God sends you, Brother Darius Gibson went a lot of places. He preached one time a revival in the Church of God, and there was a man sitting there. He was a pastor at another church, and every night God gave him the same message on the Church of God. I just kept preaching the Church of God. And finally the brother said, I see the light. I'm giving it up. I'm giving up the sectism. I'm giving up babbling, and I'm coming with the saints. And he was a minister, see? And the Lord used Brother Darius to help him see the light. And he came out. So God may. But these brothers were just, they weren't being led of the Lord, see? They went there just to listen, see what was going on. They were sitting in the back, and I heard it just right. It was something like the spirit of the devil just came towards them, and one of them got, I don't know, it was like a big swine thing on their face or something. They got out of there anyway and repented. Hopefully they got straightened out on that one. But anyway, it was terrible. It was terrible how the enemy came after them. Now, saints, I'm saved and sanctified, but I'm not going to fool around with babbling. No, I'm not. And if I find myself, I got to go to a funeral, and I've attended other churches to go to a funeral or something, family members, I plead the blood of Jesus. Now, you might, oh, Sister Marsh, you're just being too afraid of Babylon. I'm afraid of the evil spirits. I don't want nothing to do with them. And I'm not afraid in my spirit, but you know what I'm trying to say? I know Jesus will take care of me, but I'm not going to flirt with it. I'm not going to listen to nothing that's false. Whether whatever airwaves it comes, however it might come on your telephone or anything, dear one, stay away from Babylon. The there's spirits of every hateful, evil bird out there. It's a dangerous place to flirt with Babylon. We don't do that. We got to be very careful. We love the people. We love the people, but we cannot love any other doctrines. Every false way has false doctrines. We got to be careful of that, dear ones. We got to know how to be like a lamb and like a lion. Like the brother said, we're bold as a lion for the truth, but we got to be gentle and have humility and love the people. And it says, come out. We got to help them to come out. I know, Grandma, when I got saved, she was always helping me to understand. Bless her little heart. She was a real saint of God. Let me tell you, Jerry's grandmother. And God used my husband because he knew the saints. His family was connected to the saints. And he got saved before I did on Wednesday. And I gave my heart to the Lord on Friday in grandmother's house. And his grandmother, Eva. I don't know if some of you older ones might remember her. But she was a saint of God. Let me tell you, she taught me the truth. She taught me about having faith in God. One time she broke her arm. And she wrote a track on it, but she broke her arm in a car accident. And she went to the hospital, and they told her, you're going to have operation and put a plate in there. Now, I'm not condemning anybody, but I'm just telling you, we need to encourage one another to have faith in God in the hard places. I'm not condemning anybody, but you know what? We all don't know what we're going to do in places like that. And God's merciful, and he'll help us. But Grandma's faith took it in. That no, she couldn't do that. She said, well, I would let you set my arm, but I don't want to go that far. So wrap up my arm. And she went home and she suffered pain. Oh, she suffered. And she said, but one night the Lord came and she said, I had a dream. I was standing in service and I was moving my arm all around and her arm was healed. And right after that, the Lord touched her arm and healed her arm. And praise God, without any kind of medical aid to it, God healed that arm. And she could move that arm just as good as the other arm. This is my grandma. This was my pastor I had. She one-on-one with me. She taught me about having faith in God. We'd stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. I'm not exaggerating. When we first got saved, Jerry and I would stay up and Grandma would counsel us and teach us the truth and teach us about having faith in God. And I'm not boasting in that at all. I look back and don't know how I did it, but we had complete insurance and Tammy was born at the hospital, but my last two were born at home trusting in God. And one of the greatest miracles of my life, sometime I might write about that, But you know, one of the greatest miracles when Jody was born, God healed me 2.5 hours later. I was dying. I was dying. And but God came on the scene and healed me by the power of God. And I tell you, I was tempted. The devil said, you're going to have to go to the hospital and get some help, or you're going to lay here and die. I was only 20, maybe 24 years old. And I said, well, Lord, you told me to trust in you. I wasn't trying to tempt God. I was really desiring to have faith. I was trying to do what Grandma said, to have faith in God. That's all I was doing. But you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm willing to live or die. I'm right here with you, Lord. You know where I'm at. And the Lord said, you remember what you read in Brother Susek's book. I had been studying about faith, and this woman was in the same kind of trouble, similar, I'll say. And I'm trying to be modest in this. But you know, the saints prayed for her. And back then, they were a lot of ladies that stayed at home. But they called for the doctor, and the doctor couldn't get there quick enough. And she was turning blue and going unconscious. But you know, the saints laid hands on her and the Lord healed her right there. And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command her to be healed. He said, pray that way. Well, Grandma, if you knew Grandma, she was a very humble saint. To command something in the name of Jesus, she just, you know. But she asked me, are you sure? I said, Grandma, God just spoke to me. He said, pray like they prayed in Brother Susay's book. And she said, okay. And it was Jerry and her. And she said, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command something to happen there and Marcia to be made well. And instantly, lightning went like pain. I hadn't had no pain for 2.5 hours, but God delivered me. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to be modest here, dear ones. But I want to tell what God's done. And he healed me. It was the greatest miracles of my life. And sometimes some relatives will say, why did you ever do that? Why didn't you go to the hospital? Well, you know, now I look back and I think, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I had faith. I'm not trying to put this on other people. I testified when I was young and some thought, well, you're trying to put this on other people, make them feel condemned. No, 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 I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling what God did for me. At the 11th hour, when all hope looked like I was going to die, God helped me. He saw my innocency, that I was trying to trust in the Lord. I just loved the Lord, and the Lord came and healed me. But I look back, one of the greatest miracles of my life was such a blessing when I put my trust in the Lord. This is why we encourage the saints to trust the Lord, because you will see miracles happen. You will see God. God is not a small God. Amen. My brother Marty preached last night. He is a big God. Bigger than we can say. Bigger than we can preach. Bigger than we can tell it, dear ones. He is a big God. And one of these days, the church of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and the rest will be caught up in the air, and we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to see Jesus Christ, praise God, and all his holy angels with him. And that is a big God, bigger than we can even think, bigger than we can even sing, and we do some good singing here, but it's bigger than that. Oh, praise God this morning. I thank God for the church of God. I thank God that the Lord brought me to the saints and let me understand. I remember at Monarch when I first came among the saints, I was had short sleeves on and I was just as saved as any of you, but I didn't understand. I didn't know. Oh, praise God. He was so good to me. He loved me so much. I was sitting in the back of the old tabernacle there, sitting way in the back on the outside. The saints were walking by me, walking by. That was probably 1970. I got saved in 71. I think that was 72. We went to the camp meeting, the first camp meeting. I got saved in November. And I was sitting there and I said, oh God, look at me. I don't have long sleeves on. And look at them. They're so sweet. I had a long jumper on and all, or a dress or whatever I had, but I was long. But I didn't have long sleeves. And I said, oh, look at them precious people. Look at your saints. Oh God, could you make me one of them? Make me like them? So I went back to the tent and I had one white blouse, long sleeves. And I said, well, I'll wear that with my jumpers. I had some different jumpers. And so I started wearing that, and I wash it out. I would wash it out and put it back on. And nobody told me, Marsha, you need to get your long sleeves on. I was willing. I was willing. If the saints taught that, I was willing to do it. Some people want to argue about it. Why do you got to wear those long sleeves in the summertime? Oh, you know, it really protects you from the sun. Do you know, dear ones, I can see it protects you from the sun. You know, your skin that's covered up, it is not all bad from the sun. But dear ones, there's lots of good things about long sleeves. But you know, dear ones, the main thing is have your heart right. And God, but what I'm trying to bring out is the Church of God, the true saints, are willing and obedient to be teachable. You don't have to make them do things. They're wanting to do it. I know Jerry's grandma and grandpa, and I'm not saying this to boast about me. I'm not doing that for that reason. I'm trying to help us. But you know, he said, Marsha seems to, she's teachable. She's just teachable. Well, because I was really born again. Right. And this is what we have to be. The gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, we don't have to worry about the church going down. The church will never go down. Yes. We must not go down. We must be God's people. That's where it is. We must be God's people. If we cease to teach it right, if we don't go by what the Bible, then it doesn't matter who our ancestors are. It doesn't matter who we're affiliated with. It doesn't matter that once we were with the Faith and Victory or how much knowledge we got. If we quit teaching all the Bible and teach the Bible, we cease to be the Church of God. Every one of us ministers have to teach the truth. And all the saints have to live the truth. And then when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Why do you think they recover? It's because of us. Well, partly because we're living right. That's right. But the main part is Jesus Christ heals them. Jesus Christ heals them. But we've seen healings right here at this altar bench. And I'll tell you about that too. That's in the Church of God. I remember our Haley, when she was young, she could not eat anything to ketchup or tomatoes and spaghetti, anything like that would make her break out with a terrible rash. And she was sitting in here. She might have been like 8 or 9 years old. I don't know. It's when they lived here. And I saw her sitting. Everybody else was in there eating. I said, honey, why don't you go and eat lunch? She said, well, I can't. She said, I can't eat any of that because it was all good food, but she could not take any of the red sauce. And the Lord just gave me inspiration. I said, you go to the altar, I'm going to get the ministers. I have confidence in the ministers. We gathered around, and I said, let's pray that the Lord will heal her right now, that she can go eat and never have this trouble again. Praise God! The Lord healed her right there. Right there. And she went and ate that day, did not break out, and she's never broke out since. So let's not say God's not healing. He is healing. He's healing. There's healing in the Church of God. Because we're His church. We're His people. There's many other things I could tell about, but you know, God is in the church. He's with us, dear ones. We don't have to be afraid. God is with us. He's with us. He's healing us. He's helping us out. Yes, He is. I know Sister Roberta said to me, was up at the wedding there of our grandson. Well, sometimes she spoke this to me. Anyway, she says, you know, it's not that we haven't got sick, Sister Marcia. It's not that we haven't been at death's door. It's not that the saints have never got sick. It's because God's healed us of all our diseases. Isn't that right, Sister Roberta? It's because God's healed us. You think I'm 64 years old. You think I've never been sick? You think I've never been at death's door? I've been in car accidents. I've been childbirth at home. I've been heart attack. I had all kinds of things happen to me. But praise God, today I stand in the name of the Lord. And I'm healed. And I'm strong. And I got energy. Praise God, I have lots of energy. I don't take that for granted at my age. Have energy. Yes, that's right. Praise the Lord. What is it? It's God Almighty. Yes, thank the Lord. There was a, was it brother in the Bible? He was 80 years old. He said, my eyes haven't went dim. And he was saying all these things. What was that? Caleb, yeah. He said, my eyes haven't went dim. And all these things. I'm 80 years old. But he said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord's done it. You know, God can heal us, dear ones. We just got to seek the Lord for these things. Praise God. Oh, I just thank the Lord. He said he'll save his people in the church of God from all their sins. St. Matthew, it says, that's why Jesus came in the 21st verse. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From their sins, not in their sins. We are free from sin. Praise God. Been living free from sin all these years. And it's the Lord. It's not me. We are living free from sin in the church of God. And if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to get discouraged. If you do that, you make a mistake and you go too far with it and you do commit sin, God will forgive you and reinstate you. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord for the church of God. St. John 10, it said they're going to be one fold. Just one fold. How can it be when there's so many different churches, so many different names? How can there just be one fold? There's one God. There's one Lord. There's one fold. Praise God. St. John 10 and 16. It says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There once, there's been times I've met people in the world that's asked me what church I go to, and I try to explain it to them. And sometimes I've met people that I really believe that they're saved. I really feel the Spirit. But still, that doesn't mean that I go to their church. I have to help them see the light, the more light that we have, the more understanding that we have. We can love them. We can work with them as much as we can, but we must lead them. God said to do that. And 7 and 9 of 1 John 1 and 7 and 9. Oh, praise God today for the true church of God. We love God's church. We'll give, we know by God's grace, we'll give our life to God's church. First 1 and John and 7, it says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Jesus, he is the true light. The 9th verse, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This light that we talk about, it's stronger than a light bulb. It's stronger than those lights there. It is a vision. It's an understanding of the light of God. We sing the song, I am in the light of God. Paul said, I was not disobedient, O King Agrippa, to the heavenly vision that you gave me. Dear ones, it's a serious thing for us to back up on light. We must never be disobedient to the heavenly vision. I remember when I first was saved, I had a few battles and trials, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I thought, you know, I was young, and I thought, well, what if I mess up here? What if I don't keep saved? I said, God, you know, you could just take me, Lord. I'm willing to die right now. Just take me, so what if I don't make it? Just take me while I'm ready. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, no, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you to stay saved. And you know, that's my prayer all the time. Lord, help me to make it to my last breath. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to be. But dear ones, we want to be faithful to that last breath. We want to be able to say, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I don't know. We've seen some different ones in our family. Jerry's father, when he was dying, he was sick with kidney disease. And yes, he was in the hospital, but he was saved. And he was struggling, but he was saved. Dear ones, there's a better way. We know that. But we're merciful to people. See, this is what we got to do. We got to preach it strong and steady, but we got to be merciful too. We have to be loving and kind to people. And you know, I wasn't there because my father was having heart trouble, and I thought he was going to die with a heart attack. So I'd flown out there, and I flew back. And so they were telling me, And I said bye to Jerry's dad, but before he died, he was unconscious. Just before he died, he clapped his hands. He raised up and clapped his hands. Yes, right there at the hospital, but the Lord was with him. The Lord is merciful. He's kind and merciful. He knows we get our backs up against the wall. He knows we have problems. We don't know how to get out of them. He was afraid probably and all that. Sister Maxine, you might have been there. Did you see him clap his hands? Praise the Lord!
Yes, amen.
He made it. He's seen something. And I've been with others, like Jerry's mother. She had her head down, but she raised her head and looked around. Her eyes got real big, and she looked around, and then she died. And Sister Roberta was telling me about her mother. She heard a trumpet blowing. And she could probably tell you better than I could, but she heard something that they could not hear. The eternity is real. The eternal heavens is real. And dear ones, we must stay with the church. We must stay with the right church. We must stay with our understanding and our, and you know, sometimes when the Lord gives me things like this, I think, well, the saints know all about it. They know about the church. And the Lord said, just preach it anyway. They need to hear it. They need to stay with it. They need to understand it. There might be one person there that's being tempted with wrong, you know, sectism. They might be tempted with Babylon. We got to cry out against it. And how do we do that in a sweet spirit? We can do it in a sweet spirit and still stand aloof. Because there's such power. You know, when we sing the songs, I love thy church of God. When we sing these songs and it goes all through us.
Yes.
It's such power in that. Such power. Revelations 19 and 14. It says, come out of her, my people. You know, we have to come out. You know, I had to come out. I never was really in there, but when I got saved, I was right with the saints right from the beginning. But I want to read these verses too, and I want to get that scripture. But it says here in Revelation 19, and the eighth verse, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed, this is the church, in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And then it goes on into the 14th verse, I want to read the 13th. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I want to tell you about a vision I had. I say it's a vision, I never saw it, but I heard it. But when I was a young teenager, before I came with the saints, I heard, now this might sound strange, but I heard in the sky at night, horses galloping it was like they were galloping out there in the sky. I heard something. And I had my hand on the curtain, I was going to look, but I was too afraid. I just did not know what it meant. But praise God. Since I've been saved, I know what that meant. The Lord was going to give me a vision of the white horse, the true church.
Amen.
He was going to get me out. All saints, the Holy Spirit can get somebody out that you don't know nothing about.
Right.
And make a preacher out of them.
Yes.
God can do these things. He is the God. We don't know what's coming up next. God, I'm so glad to see these young people moving out as ministers. We need them. We need the older ones who are getting old and dying and off. And we need these young people. But you know, God may save someone that we never heard of and come right among the saints and start teaching the truth to us. And we'd say, oh. But you know, God is God. He's mighty. Oh, I thank God for the true church, the fine and linen, the white horse. That is the church of God. Praise the Lord. Somebody help me with, I thought I had that written down. I want to read that scripture. Come out of her, my people.
It might be 17, chapter 17.
Yes, 17. What verse is that exactly? Come out of her, my people. Mystery. Babylon the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That is what we need to come out of. Babylon and spirit in heart, in every way. And it said the fourth verse of the 18th chapter. There is what I want. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. You know, Babylon can say a lot of good things. They can speak a lot of good things. And they can maybe even preach a little good. But they're still tainted with false doctrine. Beware. Be careful. We don't want any of that to be coming near us. Our young people, there's not a whole lot here, but stay with the truth. We teach our grandchildren. We teach them. Older saints, your job is not done. Never done. You get those little grandchildren coming up, you teach them. Stay with the truth. Stay with the right church. Don't. If I die before you, and you remember what Mama taught you, stay with the church. Stay with the truth. Go to church and stay with the people of God. You know, I'm going to tell you a couple little stories before I sit down. But I've been reading about the history of the church, and it's so rich. It's so interesting. It really needs to be added on to it. Wickersham. And he wrote it. He was from Moundsville, West Virginia, and he wrote this years ago, maybe like in the 1800s, so maybe it was before that. I wrote it down. But anyway, there was Polycarp. I wanted to mention that. Polycarp was a pastor for about 60 years. A sermon said, they wanted to kill him by fire. They wanted to burn him alive. First of all, the saints hid him for a while. They loved Polycarp. He was a man of God, and they hid him for a while. But then the persecutors came, and they began to persecute the brethren and torture the brethren. Polycarp's tender heart could not take it anymore, and he said, turn me in. I'm going to turn myself in. So he told, and while they sat at his table, I guess he served them at his table, I don't know. He said, give me an hour to pray. Well, he got so carried away in the spirit, they just let him keep praying. He prayed double that, about 2 hours. And they were sitting at his table. I don't know if it said he served them at his table, so I don't know if he gave them food or what. His enemies, his persecutors, they were going to kill him. Then they took him out, and they said, we're going to burn him alive. They put him on the stake to burn him alive. Saints, this is a true story. The fire encircled his body all around him. Did not touch Polycarp. The fire could not touch him because God did not let it. They were so angry and so mad that they thrust a sword in his side. An unusual amount of blood poured out so much that it extinguished the fire. His body was still there. It was not burnt. And the saints begged to have his body and bury him properly. Those evil persecutors would not let it. They said, not, you can have his bones and ashes, but we're going to burn. He was dead already. We're going to burn him. We're going to do it anyway. So after they did, the precious little saints came and picked up his bones and his ashes and went and buried him properly. Those are the kind of people that are in the church of God. So when we have a few little burdens, like, saints, come on, let's get in here and be saints. Let's be strong. These are the kind of people we're going to meet in heaven. Yes. God is great. He's the big God, like we heard. We don't have to be afraid, like the song says. And this other little lady, Lena Schofner, just reading to different people, and I want to read some more about it. It's so good. And actually, where we got this history of the church was from Henry Gibson, John's father, when we were young. He got it to us, and Jerry made copies and made his own books out of it for us. And this lady, she was one of the ministers back in the Brother Warner's time. 1890, she was walking along, and we read about her. She loved to dance. Do you know that I used to love to dance when I wasn't saved? When I was a young teenager, I loved to dance. And you know what? I found something better than dancing. I found something I love better than that foolishness. Brother Hunt free. He said he loved to dance. And I thought when I read that about that lady, I thought, you know, I could kind of understand her. She loved to dance. But the Lord, she was walking down the street one day and the saints were singing on the corner, "Oh, why should I be lost?" The song we sing, "So careless meet my doom." And then they invited them to the camp meeting and she went. And I don't think she got saved that day, but she went back again and got gloriously saved. And God made a preacher out of her. Well, one day the Lord gave her a message at a tent meeting. And the tent meeting was, the scripture was, "God has broken down the wall of partition between us." Back then, it's a shame, but they had the black saints on one side and the white on the other, and there was a rope right between them. She was preaching that, and the more I guess she looked at that rope and preaching about God has broken down the wall of partition between us, she says, "Brothers, cut that rope!
Praise the Lord.
Cut that rope!" And they cut that rope, and oh, they were persecuted over it. That's the kind of saints that we've had in our background. I was talking to Brother Danny Adams the other day, and he said his chapel there, as far as I know, may be the only original chapel that the saints had back in the 1800s. It was passed down there in Hammond. When they sold Hammond since then, we don't have that old campgrounds at Hammond. But those were two that when they had fanaticism come along, and then they had the drift of compromise come along, and the saints had to go right straight forward, balanced. And somehow that chapel was kept. The reason I was talking to him about it is because some of our children went and helped him put some wood floors down. But he said part of that original is still needing a lot of repair. But I thought, oh, wouldn't that be nice to see that? I would like to see that. You know, I know that we are the saints, and I know that, you know, God's doing just as much for us as he did for Brother Warner and them. But I love the old books. I get inspiration from it. It's not that I'm belittling us or putting us down. I know we have healings. We have God working with us. We have God working with us just as much as they. In fact, we need greater. It says, when the world is full of sin, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. We're living in the time we really need God. I mean, I know they did too, but we're living in the last days. And God is with us just as much as God was with Brother Warner and them. But I get good out of it. I get good about reading The Birth of Reformation. I even get good about reading behind that. Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, he was a priest. And he made a vow not to marry. And when God began to deal with him about the truth, the just shall live by faith. And God began to show him that those doctrines they were teaching him was wrong. And forbidding to marry and all that, that's in the Bible. Don't go that way. It's okay. God wants you to marry. It says the young women marry and guide the house and things. And so the Lord gave him light, and he helped. Nine other nuns came out of there with him, and one of them he married. And he got great persecution for marrying. But they went back on their vows they made with that church. And they got married, and God blessed him, and God gave him the light. That was back in the 1500s. This is the ancestors we have. You ever like to study about your ancestry? Oh, praise God. Well, I could say more, but I just want to encourage you this morning that we're in the Church of God. We love the Church of God. There's many other scriptures, I'm sure. There's a scripture that talks about one stick. I've heard the older saints that are dead and gone, they used to talk about that. One stick. One church. But you know, you think about it, saints, if we don't keep preaching this, we have to keep preaching it. The young ministers have to keep preaching this, because if not, there'll be a drift. There'll be a drift of people who will not understand, and they'll get in pens of men, and they'll have family members. Why don't you come over to my church this Sunday? Why don't you visit us? Oh, you get great persecution sometimes when you don't want to do that. Yeah. You say, well, no. Why not? Well, because I just like to go to my church. I like to go to the truth. I like to go the right way. You might not want to say it just like that, but God will give you the words to say, not to offend people. And if you find yourself sometime there, like I said, you know, there's weddings, there's funerals, there's other things you have to be. You can plead the blood of Jesus. God will protect you. Pray for me.